Hello, and welcome to the Live Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar, 5 Ways to Outperform in a Competitive Market, sponsored by Pitney Bowes. I'm Mark Michelson, Editorial Director and Editor-in-Chief of Printing Impressions and the host of today's event. Today, document outsourcers and print and mail service providers need to balance increasing customer demands with managing their bottom line. Marketing dynamics are such that clients expect more for less, and they are putting increased pressure on their service providers. Our speakers today include Matt Swain, Group Director, InfoTrends, who will provide strategic insights to the trends within the market and technology innovations that service providers need to thrive in this highly competitive environment. Unfortunately, Mike Hennessy was not able to join us today. So joining us is Kevin Marks, Vice President, Global Product Marketing, Production Print at Pitney Bowes, who will share recent client success stories from service providers who have implemented strategies for growth and the impacts on this business. Matt will be our first presenter, followed by Kevin. Based on time, we will also field a Q&A session at the end, so please don't hesitate to submit your questions throughout today's event. Before we get started, let me take a second to point out the Tips for Attendees widget on your console. It's the blue one with a wrench on it. If you missed the tech tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click this widget for more information. So, okay, let's get started with a little intro about Matt. Matt Swain is Director of InfoTrends, a leading worldwide market research and strategic consulting firm for the digital imaging and document solutions industry. He's responsible for driving global research and consulting initiatives in the customer communications and document outsourcing markets. As a result of its extensive research and ongoing coverage, Matt brings valuable market perspective to his clients. He is also a frequent speaker at industry events, including presentations in Asia, Eastern and Western Europe, and throughout North America. Matt received a Bachelor of Science in Imaging and Photographic Technology, as well as a Master of Science in Print Media from the Rochester Institute of Technology. Okay, Matt, take it away.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate it. Thank you all for joining today. So as Mark mentioned, I am a director at InfoTrends. I actually head up our document outsourcing advisory services. So I look forward to sharing 5 ways to outperform in a competitive market based on some of the insights that we've gathered. So where I'll start is with this slide, and this slide is intended to guide us through those 5 points. And the first one that we're looking at is investing in technology and workflow. And I think that this is an important point for a lot of print service providers on the line. You certainly are always looking to find ways to get a competitive edge. And frankly, with a lot of the technology that's out there today, it's leaps and bounds ahead of that technology that was available 5 years ago, and for some of you, 10 or 15 years ago, depending on your investment strategy. So we actually did a study on the production print services market in North America. And what was interesting was when we asked 320 print service providers about a number of topics. One of those was just whether or not they grew, declined, or stayed flat in the last year. And what we've done here is you're actually seeing that cut along the bottom compared against the various questions asked. So the question we've served up here is, what is the primary driver for why you are purchasing new digital black and white or color printing devices? And you can see the various options: lower operating costs, need newer machines, need devices with new capabilities, increased volume, current devices need to be replaced, and current devices are too slow. Well, most often we were seeing that current devices were too slow. But what you can see in that red box, those red boxes that we've called out, if you look at the difference between companies that said that their revenue declined last year versus those that grew more than 10%, you can see that there's a big difference between those two boxes. So for companies that declined year over year, they're most likely they were the most likely group to say that they need new devices with new capabilities. So they're lagging the market and they need to come up to speed. For those companies that have grown, certainly some of them also still view a need for investment in devices. But the difference for them is it's not as much about new capabilities as it is about volume increases, which is never a bad problem to have in the printing industry, is you have too much volume for current capacity. Now, if we look at the way that we track the industry at InfoTrends, we actually do a quarterly market tracker, and we look at a number of print devices. What you're looking at here is just that 10 million plus duty cycle, so really high volume print engines, color inkjet systems. And you can see that over time, since back in 2005 all the way through 2013, we've seen this steady growth year over year. So what's interesting is there are a lot more devices being placed in the U.S. and Western Europe and across Asia and Latin America. But at the same time, there's still a need for more equipment. For some companies, it's investing in a second high-speed color inkjet system. For some very large companies, even they're just making that transition from cut sheet to roll fed, or just making that transition from black and white to full color digital. So we continue to see growth opportunity in this market. And certainly, as a result of placing that equipment, we've gone back and seen that print service providers have their strategies have panned out for the most part. Now, if you think about the applications that we're seeing in the digital print space, bills and statements are certainly the number one application by page volume. But we're seeing direct mail, books, brochures, proposals, and reports. We're seeing those coming up the curve rather quickly, and most of that volume is coming from offset transfer. So now that you have higher speed digital color capability, now that the costs have come down below the thresholds of that offset versus digital divide, if you will, we are seeing a lot of that volume coming up to speed rather quickly, and expect that to continue going forward. If we think from a software and workflow perspective, we did a study on cloud-based infrastructures and workflows in the graphic communication space, and we asked respondents worldwide what their biggest bottlenecks were, what were their problems, where were their inefficiencies in their current workflow, and what we found was the bottlenecks were dealing with high number of small jobs, keeping up with changes and training users, customizing workflows to their current needs as the top three. But then when we overlay the transactional, as you see here in the yellow bubbles, you can see the top three shifts a little bit. So customer onboarding is the top response for the transactional respondents, followed by keeping up with change, and then a tie for third with integration into systems and increasing throughput. We actually have this cut by graphic arts and by all of the different companies and sizes as well, which is just interesting to look at where the differences in current workflows happen. Now, lastly, we did a survey at the beginning of this year on workflow initiatives for 2015, and I thought this would be interesting to share when we think about workflow investments and some of the initiatives that companies have from a technology and workflow perspective. The top three responses were expanding workflow features to offer new services, improving customer integration via web-based systems, and third, cross-training of staff, so making sure that from a staffing perspective, you're making the right investments to ensure that your staff is capable of running for multiple devices or understanding different systems. So it's not always it's not always an investment in technology, if you will, as sometimes it's really just a reinvestment in staff and cross training, which is going to improve and enhance your workflow efficiency. So I'd like to move from there to the second point, but why don't I pause to remind everybody, as Mark said, we're going to field questions at the end of this, and each of these topics can be distinct. So as you think through questions that came up out of that first point, I encourage you to submit those, and then we'll tally all those up at the end, and Mark will feed those back to us. So let's move to the second point, which is on helping drive client desire to reinvest in print. So now that there's, now that you've made that technology investment, now that you've made that workflow investment, now how do you drive that, that client desire to reinvest in print? And I think it's interesting because, you know, well, per client print volumes may be declining. It depends on your client. It depends on your industry. It doesn't mean that the opportunity is declining, because I think when you look at the balance of, there might be less mail going out, but the mail that still is being delivered, the print that still is being produced can be more relevant. So it's the balance of showing the clients how they can improve relevance by better targeting, more personalization, looking back at print as a channel that, you know, cuts through the clutter. Because as we saw declines in what was hitting the mailbox, for instance, what still gets through gets noticed. And I think that's an important part to important point to come back to. In fact, for some of you on the line, you may have seen this IKEA spoof ad or commercial about the IKEA book. They were talking about the IKEA catalog, and you know, it has eternal battery life, and it doesn't need a connection. They show you how to bookmark by folding a page, but it's really kind of playing off this reinvest in print story. And IKEA has been a proponent of print for a long time. If you think about the augmented reality applications that they do to try to engage you from the printed piece to the digital world, IKEA is a big proponent there. You also saw last year, just a few examples in the cataloging space. You had Macy's doing 500,000 personalized catalogs that were highly targeted, highly relevant. And then you also just, we also just heard that JCPenney is coming back in the market and bringing catalogs back. So again, we've come full cycle with some of these companies in, wanting to reinvest in print. And I think it's important to push some of these stories forward for clients that might just be printing for the sake of printing or because they have to. And again, kind of thinking about how print connects to a digital world, think about, what else you can do with that print to make it more relevant to today's consumer. We actually asked in some of the customer communications work that we did, we asked consumers, how can your providers improve the business communications they send you? And whether it was by mail or digitally, the responses were, make them easier to understand, personalize the content for me, and use color to emphasize important information. And I think that those are important takeaways. The end customer is looking for document redesign. The end customer is looking for more personalization. The end customer is looking for color. Where you might run into some challenges with some of your clients in terms of making some of these investments, I think it's important to look beyond the client at the end customer, at the prospect, and bring that insight back to them. Make them understand that there is an importance here, ultimately, it's going to come back to, how do you track it? Show me the return on investment. But first, you need to start that conversation and run some pilots. In fact, if we think about why customers continue to embrace the bills and statements, for those of you that are in the transactional space, the consumer wants that hard copy for the records. They want to put it in the banker's box in the back of their closet. It's a reminder to pay the bill. So if you put your consumer hat on right now, you might be nodding to some of these as you look through them. It's a security precaution. Some are hard to read or review online. And there's a trust issue around the online archive, which actually comes back to wanting that hard copy for their records. So when we think about, if I continue down this track of the bill and the statement, that's actually the most read document that's received by mail. That type of communication is open more than any other communication, and the read times are pretty high. So when we think about bills and statements, what we try to emphasize for companies is why don't you reinvest in it? So what you're looking at here, this is my Time Warner cable bill, and this is an 8-page bill. It's 4 sheets. It's printed in full color. It's double-sided. If you think about it, The bill details are really just pages 3 and 4. There's some informational messaging on 5 and 6, But 1, 2, 7, and 8, that's all cross-sell, upsell. So they're really taking advantage of the statement as a vehicle to drive marketing messaging. So there's an opportunity to combine some of this marketing messaging with the with that biller statement that's being otherwise delivered anyway. The third point that I wanted to go into was around ensuring postal and regulatory compliance. And here is probably it's interesting because when you look at this space, it's really about what? It's about managing the risk. So when we talk about the value that you can bring to your customers, it's having vertical market expertise, having the technology in place to ensure 0% defects. That could also include using intelligent mail barcode, IMB, piece level tracking, meeting SLAs, being able to show content was delivered when it was supposed to be delivered. So from a compliance perspective, we see a significant need for the print service provider to support their clients. So it actually aligns with point five, which we'll come to in a few minutes here. But it's more about being that strategic resource, showing that you have the vertical market expertise for that company's vertical. From a direct mail and marketing perspective, it's about making sure managing the risk in this perspective is making sure that content's delivered, and then to the extent that you're able to help on from optimizing on postage discounts, to the extent that you're able to help with that piece level tracking, it's all very important. We actually did an earlier study around the operational challenges, and one of the things that we asked was, which of the following operational functions presents the biggest challenges relative to customer communications lifecycle and or marketing? And the list was much longer than this. I pulled the top five, but what comes up first is regulatory compliance. It's certainly top of mind for your clients, for the businesses that we surveyed, and it continues to be a top reason for consideration on whether or not a company is maintaining in-house operations or going outside or even going from outside and bringing something back in. Cost reduction is always a top topic, but regulatory compliance is also right up there. And I don't want to only dwell on the regulatory side, because I think there's also a postal perspective to this that's ensuring that your clients are getting the best discounts. So if you look at the 2015 proposed USPS promotion calendar, you can see first class mail, standard mail, and the time frames that they're for enrollment and for delivery on some of these programs. I was actually talking to a client earlier this week that said that one of their clients saved $600,000 last year just by taking advantage of these promotions. So they brought a lot of value to their clients, saying, let's undertake this redesign, or in some cases, you're already doing this. Let's just make sure that you opt into the program so that you achieve that savings. And I think that's going to be really important in 2015 for print service providers to have that postal expert, for somebody to really be out there talking to your clients about how they can save on different parts of their operations.
Matt, just a real quick interjection here. A few people are asking about getting slides later, and anybody watching this, you'll be able to download a PDF copy of the slides via your widget on your console, so nobody needs to worry about trying to get out their cell phones and taking screen captures of all the various slides. They will be available, so just didn't mean to interrupt there, but a few people have been inquiring about that.
No, valid point, and it saves people from doing the screen grab and filling their Microsoft Word document as we talk through it. Very good. So let's move to point four, and this is talking about delivering a multi-channel experience. You could say omni-channel in some cases, or cross-channel, but this is really about making sure that you're enabling different channels. And I think that to talk about this, we need to back up a little bit and think about some of the points of disruption. And one of those is around data. So if you think about 2012, there were 2.5 billion gigabytes of data created daily in 2012. To put that in perspective, that's the same amount of data that was created from the dawn of time through 2004. Fast forward to 2014, there were 2,300 billion gigabytes of data created daily. Now, when we talk about big data, this is it, right? It's more data than we've been used to in the past, so it's big. But what's interesting is there's a lot of data out there, and part of what we'll find out in subsequent slides is some of that's coming from the end consumer sharing more online, if we think about the social media perspective. But first, let's look at the shift in internet access, because I think this is also important. As we look at consumers in the way that they interact with the internet, we've moved out of the desktop era and into the mobile era. And this has significant implications for how you think about how content is going to be presented in a digital location. So from a screen size perspective, you really need to be thinking about, if this consumer comes to me from a mobile phone and they're clicking on, whether it's a pearl or a quick response code or interacting with augmented reality or anything interactive on the statement or the direct mail piece or the brochure or whatever it is, you need to be thinking about mobile first. Now, at the same time, when people are coming to your website from a business perspective, or when customers are going to your clients' websites, they need to be thinking about mobile-optimized, a mobile-first approach. Now, with that, we also have this move to social media, this use of this production of data. And I think if you look at some of the platforms where consumers are spending 1 in 6 minutes of their time online worldwide, I think it's interesting to start with YouTube. So YouTube is going to be the source of a lot of this data that's generated. In fact, there are 300 hours of video uploaded to YouTube every day. And 40% of the consumers that are viewing things on YouTube are actually viewing through a mobile device, again, tying back to mobile. Then we have Twitter. That there are 500 million tweets going out per day. 6 years ago, that was 500,000. To put it in perspective, today that would be 6,000 tweets per second. That means there were probably 18,000 tweets that came out in the time it took me to say that, and about 200 billion tweets coming out per year. Lots of Twitter activity. Facebook, 864 million daily active users. It's 1.3 or 4 billion users overall. And then from an Instagram perspective, 70 million photos and videos shared daily across 300 million users. So the end customer is out there sharing a lot of information, helping you better understand who they are, what they do, what they like, what they respond to, and that's going to, for the savvy print service provider, that's creating a lot of opportunity to better target, to better personalize that content if you can tie into those social platforms, if you can append data to the existing data sets that you have in order to make those more relevant communications. Now let's move to the transactional space and also look at that shift from paper-based to electronic, because I served up that content and showed this growth in mobile access and use of data and social media access, and the general assumption is that consumers are just ditching print, right? And for those of you on the line, you combat this every day. Print's alive and well. It's a print plus world. But even in the transactional space, we've been tracking this for a number of years. And if you look at the adoption, actuals versus expectations over time, you can see that in 2010, the businesses that we talked to said 18% of our customers are paperless, receive bills and statements, only electronically. Their expectation was that would grow to 29% by 2013. And it didn't make it there. And if I continue to build this, you'll see that we're still not at that 29% through 2014. So 18%, 23%, 24%, 26% paperless, yet these expectations continue to be very aggressive in terms of where people think the paper is going, the paper is moving. And you can see just in the 2014 actual, that red bar that look at 2014 to 2015. We're still having businesses tell us that they're going to achieve a 12 percentage point growth year over year in paperless adoption. We just don't see it from a consumer perspective because of some of the things that we noted before. They want the hard copy to review or for their archive. It's their reminder to pay. And it's just not easy enough to interact with these communications online. So I think this is where you need to play that role of helping companies understand, print's not going away quite as quickly as you want, as you might want it to for cost reasons. But there is an opportunity from a multi-channel perspective to help customers with physical delivery, to help customers with digital communications and tracking and data analytics around that. But it's even more than just a print versus electronic. So from an access point perspective, people can go through physical mail, but then electronically, they might access through the web, desktop, or mobile. They might go through a mobile app that they've taken initiative to download, and they might be accessing through email or email attachment. They also might be going directly to their provider in the billing world. They might go to a provider or some kind of consolidator, like a bank bill consolidation service or a digital mailbox service. So that actually leads me to the last point, and a point that I've actually touched on as we went through the first four, and that's around becoming a strategic resource to your clients. Because I think it's really important to think about how you differentiate in 2015 and going forward. How do you become more strategic so that you're not always competing on price? And we actually, coming back to this production print survey that we did last year, and again, looking at companies that declined or flat or growing, we asked them, what percent of your income comes from the following types of services? And where I want you to focus is on the growth side, because the growing PSPs rely less on print revenue. So the growth is coming from value-added services for those that grew more than 10%. Now, some of the value that you add might not be billable as a standalone item. You might be able to bake that cost or that expense somewhere else. But I think what's important is you need to be thinking about how can I take my existing client base and expand the services that I offer them, expand the value that I add, but also it's going to be from a strategic perspective, how do I ensure that I can improve, that I can retain that client for the long term? How can I get that renewal, or how can I ensure recurring business? Because the challenge that you have is that the purchasing process has changed. So, according to a Harvard Business Review article, 60% of the purchasing process is completed before having a conversation with a sales rep. So if you think about the new business prospects that you're going after, they're already out there researching solutions, they're ranking options, they're setting requirements, they're benchmarking pricing. So by the time that you get to the table, the buyers are more educated than the seller, and they're already deeply aware of their problems and often have well-scoped requirements. From a seller's perspective, from your perspective, how do you add value? How do you convince decision makers to rethink these conclusions? And ultimately, you're being forced into a price-driven conversation. That's the worst position you want to be in, is starting the discussion bartering on pennies. And if you think about, in some cases, this is just going to be how it has to be. But in other cases, you need to think about, even with your existing client set, consider your existing clients as warm leads for new non-print business opportunities. And you might not have the right contact in your Rolodex today. You might not be talking to a strategy person. You're only talking to a procurement person. You might not be talking to a marketing person. I challenge you to try to make inroads in other parts of your client organizations in 2015, because that's what's going to help you bring disruptive solutions, disruptive strategies to the table in the future. So we've reviewed these five ways to outperform in a competitive market, and what I'd like to do just before Mark comes back on and then lets Kevin give his presentation, is I'd like to talk about one of the slides that we show often from an InfoTrends perspective, and it's it's talking about different strategic paths for service providers. So on the y-axis, you have operations-driven strategy. On the x-axis, you have innovation. So as service providers are making investments in technology and business processes and sales and marketing, from an operations perspective, that leads to greater speed, quality, efficiency, sustainability, customer service. Now, from an innovation perspective, that could lead to new services, new products, new customers, new business models. Now, there are different ways that your organization thinks about these. Are you more operations driven, more innovation driven, or a combination of both? Well, I can tell you, if you're not doing any of these things, you're in that dying category. Nobody wants to be at the intersection of these axes because it means that you're not doing anything strategically to evolve your business. As you move up an operations-driven path, we view that as surviving. So you're keeping up on the speed factor. You're keeping up from a quality and efficiency and sustainability perspective. But there's always going to be somebody else coming in disrupting pricing, and you're going to have to continually invest to just compete if it's a matter of price. As you innovate and launch new services, products, and customers and business models, you're striving. If you're going out that path, you're striving to be different. You're striving to move away from the traditional view of a print service provider. But ultimately, as you get away from both of these axes and invest in a combination of operations-driven approaches and innovation-driven approaches, you're moving into that thriving quadrant. And I think that as Kevin talks through some of the customer case studies that he has, you'll see a combination of different approaches here in the way that print service providers are really trying to move more into that thriving position. With that, Mark, I'd like to turn it back over to you to introduce Kevin.
Okay, great job, Matt. Our next speaker, Kevin Marks, brings over 25 years of experience in the digital printing, graphic arts, and mailing industry in his role as Vice President, Global Production Print. In this role, he is responsible for product marketing and management for Pitney Bowes production print business, including system hardware, software, services, and supplies. On a global basis, Kevin leads the development of strategies and tactics for the production print category, including product launches, new business development, and partnership alliances. He has also held other positions at Pitney Bowes, Danka, and at Kodak. Kevin, take it away.
Mark, good afternoon. I'm delighted to share with our audience examples of how we can help our clients to perform and to outperform in a competitive marketplace. In fact, the content I'd like to review today touches very closely to the same five themes that Matt introduced earlier. These are examples of our global clients that have successfully position their companies to outperform in a competitive marketplace. These are companies that, through a balance of innovation and operational efficiencies, have chosen to not survive but to thrive. So what I'd like to do is step you through those four examples, give you live examples of clients who have successfully made that choice to thrive in the marketplace. So our first example is RevSpring. So many of you know in this audience know RevSpring to be a national level comprehensive service provider of personalized revenue cycle communications. So what this revenue cycle communications is another word of saying that the statement that they produce for their clients and mail to those intended end users is in fact an example of revenue cycle communications. They have distinguished themselves across that concept of those five steps. They focus on more than just print and mail finishing. They think about the critical elements for their end user success, data hygiene, analytics of the customer communication. It has to have the necessary elements of security, and it considers the multi-channel communications that end users may specify, both the combination of print as well as electronic communications. So that blended hybrid communication is an example of how they make themselves more valuable as a service provider to their clients. And if I think about that in terms of scope, they are pretty large with 8 locations across the U.S., and they really get it. This is a group that says, how do I power up my client and my client's end user with more valuable, tailored statement communications? So some of the challenges that they, as a company, shared with Pitney Bowes, or their critical business issues, are on the upper right-hand corner of the slide. They were looking to drive improved efficiencies and throughput across a pretty beefy volume of 60 million customer communications per month. So I'd say for most of our audience, this is considered a high-volume client and service provider. Not only did they need to deal with volumes, but they needed to, at the same time, focus on ways to reduce inventory. And so this is a client that said in different ways, I want to employ just-in-time, print-on-demand technologies, but apply that to a traditional transactional form of communications. So we want to reduce inventory. We want to reduce, importantly, setup time. So we think about clients that want to move on the operational curve. They need to think about efficiencies with short run and job setup times, both as it relates to printing and mail finishing. And finally, while all these are imperatives, let's not forget what these client communications are. These monthly communications in the form of a statement are essentially the monthly appointment between a company and their end user. And as such, they must maintain absolute document integrity. Content in the run envelope is a regulatory incursion, and based on their focus on both financial communications as well as healthcare communications, it's a trip to the Wall Street Journal and exposure to large financial outcomes. So they just have to get it right. In support of the solution, Pitney Bowes and RevStream developed a closed-loop process that considers all the critical elements for client success. Composition, workflow, printing, and mail finishing. And in doing so, we've utilized Pitney Bowes technology called our MRDF. Our mail run data file is the DNA that runs through RevSpring. It's the critical component that ensures that each piece is carefully monitored, managed, and tracked through each stage of the process, right through and up to inclusion into the mail stream. Also, the solution needed to consider the cost and the requirement for a tight reprint process, because in practice, while they are in a print and mail manufacturing settings, collisions in inserters can happen. And that's often the case where the mail finishing needs to consider the fact that if a bad record comes down or there is damage to the mail piece, we've got to track that damaged piece. So this automatic reprint process considers both the cost of quality, the cost of reprint, and the risk of bad mail being introduced. Again, an example of end-to-end process that RevSpring utilizes to more efficiently produce high-impact client communications. Now, having done so, their movement to color print and the use of the Intelligent 20 printing system from Pitney Bowes is an example of how they've used just-in-time print-on-demand technologies to manage and migrate from monochrome to color communications. And this end-to-end solution, with full tracking across the workflow through print and mail finishing, considers all the critical success points that's important for their end users, including dynamic perf and inclusion of white paper that's introduced to the printing system and the mail finishing system. So what are the reported benefits that RevSpring has enjoyed through the implementation of the white paper factory from Pitney Bowes? The client has reported higher levels of piece level integrity. They are well on the journey toward zero defect client communications. They have also standardized their entire printing process and enjoying a more efficiency through a simple and more efficient print stream management. In doing so, they've enjoyed operational savings through reductions in custom print and mail finishing material, and all the while delivering a higher quality content while reducing headcount. So this is an example of a client who has harnessed both innovation and efficiency to deliver greater business results. In the case of Mike Hennessy, who I wish was here today, but due to scheduling challenges, Mike reports as follows. The Pitney Bowes partnership has enabled RevStream to streamline and optimize their business operations. That plays to the concept of how do we improve operational efficiency. But equally important, they have applied innovation to develop more dynamic product and more offerings to their clients. Their combination of precision and accuracy has resulted in better business results, and that helps them to thrive in the marketplace. And in doing so, they have harnessed their intimate knowledge of highly regulated verticals, including financial and insurance, to deliver the kind of quality that allows them to win business in the marketplace through quality and accuracy. So Mike is and his leadership and his team at Fiserv is an example of delivering better business results that allow them to outperform in a competitive marketplace. Barton Cooney is another example. In this case, Barton Cooney is a Northeast-based organization historically rooted in the mail and letter shop industry. Over the last 4 decades, this organization has successfully produced and supplied solutions to clients across a variety of organizations, including both local, regional, and national firms. Their success is about harnessing innovation in support of their critical business issues. So the upper right-hand corner of the page, we'll share with you what they presented, some of their challenges to Pitney Bowes. Those included the need to develop quicker response to high-quality, no-compromise color digital output. They needed to transition from their existing fleet of monochrome and color printing systems to those devices, a device that would generate faster turnaround time in support of tighter customer-level service level agreements. Their clients require faster turns of more relevant content at a higher level of quality than ever in the past. Now, all the while, their clients have demanded a higher quality, yet this organization needed to, again, focus on their operational costs. So one of their CBIs, or critical business uses, is how do I attack operational costs? How do I evolve from a world made up of many small jobs that they must process every day into a single print stream? And you might know back on some of the information that Matt shared with us earlier, combination of print streams was the fourth largest target area for inefficiency that many of our clients on this call are focusing on today. So our solution need to consider how do we help consolidate that as a means to boost efficiency, all the while doing so as a way to reduce the client's cost per unit and cost for print. So let's focus for a moment on what we solved for Barton and Cooney. Our solution in partnership with this successful team was to migrate from a series of multiple roll as well as cut sheet monochrome and toner engines and color toner engines to a single intelligent 20 printing system. As a result of this consolidation, they're able to process a greater number of jobs per day and open up windows of production that allow them to fill that with additional profitable short-run work. This ability to combine not just existing jobs in-house, but also operational and system flexibility have enabled them to support a wider range of customer requirements than ever in the past. And finally, their requirement is to invest in a proven upgradable platform. So those are the requirements and the solution we developed for Barton and Cooney. And in terms of the solutions and benefits they've reported back, is as a result of migrating and their path to a comprehensive white paper factory, they have boosted their competitiveness and ability to turn around both existing and new jobs. They have reduced operational costs by reducing the number of full-time employees or alternate reposition them to higher value tasks, and all the while attacking operating costs while boosting efficiency by a factor of 50%. So that's a real win for this organization. Reducing operating cost as well as boosting throughput allows them to command more value in the marketplace and go ask additional clients for more work. This new functional capability has allowed them to consolidate many different jobs across many different substrates into a single consolidated stream that has allowed them both enhancement of their system uptime and overall performance. So Barton and Cooney, through using our partnership between the two companies, is delivering on creating higher value customer communications. And Pat Doyle, the owner of the organization, reports as follows. Our partnership between Pitney Bowes and Barton and Cooney has been a way for them to transform their operations. The white paper factory enables them to produce the higher value communications that their current customers and prospective customers demand. And this goes back to the same information that Matt shared with us earlier. It's about not generating existing print, but creating more valuable customer communications. And the solutions we've, in partnership with Mr. Doyle and company, are delivering on that concept. More specifically, the IntelliJet 20 printing system is delivering on their critical business issues of higher quality, no compromise print quality across a wide range of applications. It has enabled them to successfully migrate from monochrome to full color and enjoying the benefits of inkjet in terms of lower operating expenses as well as higher effective throughput per shift. So that's the second example of a company and the print service provider space that is harnessing the power of the white paper factory to outperform in a competitive marketplace. The third example I'd like to share with our audience today is Inceptur. Inceptur is a large Florida-based commercial print-to-mail operation that has its roots focusing on solutions in the healthcare marketplace. While generally speaking a Southeast regional provider, they have since their building of their business have expanded nationally to focus on full-color healthcare communications for clients in, across a wide variety of different industries. They've enjoyed great success in the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association and have really demonstrated innovation and efficiency that established them as best-in-class performers. Their critical business issues on the upper right-hand corner included as follows. Their business problem is, how do I generate millions of transactional statements on a monthly basis? But those statements need to be comprehensive, including multiple touch points of material, multiple different forms, often the need to combine indicias of an end user on the envelope as well as within the statement itself, as well as business reply envelopes. It's a challenge. It was a challenge presented to us. How do we merge and smooth and build efficiencies of all these disparate parts? So that was the first challenge they presented. The second challenge was, how do I grow my business? How do we transition from originally an in-plant operation in support of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Florida to a revenue-generating business? Make the migration from an in-plant with a chargeback to a revenue-generating business designed to compete in the outside with worthy competitors in the print service provider space. So that was challenge number two. How do I grow and expand as a revenue-based company? And finally, part of their business operation challenge was, how do I make sure that my investment in postage, which for many of this audience know is represents a large percentage of the total cost to produce a client communication, how do I make sure that investment in postage is delivering a maximum return? With such a large part of the total spend, how do I make sure that I'm harnessing the power of the postal system to make sure that that dollar of postage spend delivers maximum results? So those are some of the challenges. In terms of solution we developed in partnership with Inceptur, we're delighted that this is an example of a fully integrated, tightly integrated white paper factory. Their movement to a fully integrated, tightly integrated white paper factory considers all the critical components for client success. We've considered the workflow, the print, and the mail finishing required to deliver high integrity, fully tailored, relevant customer communications, and trace and track through each step of the process. Their movement has positioned them for greater growth. We've expanded their ability to deliver more results per shift. And in a single production workflow, they're able to receive into the printing system white paper that generates both the statement as well as the enclosure that represents the envelope. So this is a fine example of harnessing technology to support innovation and operational efficiency. As a byproduct of our solution, we've eliminated and replaced six separate print engines and consolidated them to two IntelliJet printing systems, and consolidating from eight inserters to two mail stream wrapping systems. Think about the implication to labor and the cost of labor content in each of these work cells by dramatically tightly integrating and vertically integrating both print and mail. And equally important to this solution is the partnership both in terms of technology and the use of the Pitney Bowes Presort services. They play an important role for the final leg of postal optimization strategy. In doing so, this client reports some significant and noteworthy business improvements. They have delivered a higher level of print quality across each of these customer communication touch points. Each of these finished mail pieces is generated faster, with less maintenance, and with far fewer operators. This organization was able to redeploy operators to higher value tasks than simply manning printers and inserters. Now they're participating in areas of their the operational workflow that commands greater value to both inceptor as well as to end users. As a result, they're able to expand to new customers, and they report some dramatic savings in the economic category, including savings in paper and lowered inventory storage space. Each of those examples go right to the bottom line of Inceptor. And in addition to the estimated savings of postage, you start to see the tremendous opportunity for process improvement and competitive positioning that Inceptor can now enjoy as they build their business around higher quality, lower cost customer communications. In fact, Ted Hagen reports that our partnership between the two companies has enabled to transform their business. Transform the business, again, moving from survive to thrive. And as they deliver more valuable, engaging, personalized content to customers, this is what provides them the competitive advantage as they go into the marketplace and ask customers to entrust them with new sources of applications and customer communications. The next example and final example I'd like to share with you is about BSource. And this is just to illustrate that our solution set is not just about accounts in North America. So Switzerland-based BSource is a company that focuses on bank statements, credit card statements, insurance documents, and invoices. This organization, based in Lucerne, has used the power of efficiency and tailored communications to attack their business issues of efficiency, standardization onto fewer document types, all the while maintaining that critical postal and regulatory compliance. We all know about the requirements in the globe for zero compromised, highly precise documents, and many of the clients in Switzerland that BSource supplies have those hyper levels of integrity, and we're delighted that we can deliver on them through our solution. The use of our Pitney Bowes mail finishing system in combination with our inline color messaging system allows them to receive envelopes, directly print on those envelopes in a white paper factory, and deliver better business results. Our ability to consolidate for operational efficiencies from multiple lines that reduces costs and boost accuracy and efficiency has positioned them to enjoy no new benefits in terms of customer acquisition, all the while maintaining strict industry benchmarks for security reliance. And in summary, the CEO of this organization, Renee, reports that in partnership between the two companies, we were the company that understood his requirements for end-to-end solutions, and we're delivering and fulfilling on the compliance requirements. Quality with accuracy and integrity with the requirements for this organization, and we're delighted in our partnership with BSource and our ability to deliver on that each and every day. So for us at Pitney Bowes, we think it's critical to get it right. We think it matters. So our concepts of accuracy, precision, with highly relevant content is what matters for clients, and they directly support what we think and Matt's described as what's required to outperform a competitive marketplace. And we're equally equipped to help each of our clients in this call to explore what's the best way to help you get there, because success to us is really about enabling a competitive advantage. So at this point in time, I'd like to turn back to Mike and to Mac for any questions that our audience may have.
Okay. Thanks. Great job, Kevin. All right. We've covered quite a bit of ground on webinar topic today, so let's we only got a few minutes, but let's take a few questions that have come in from the audience. Kevin, you've mentioned a few times about a white paper factory in some of the case histories you gave. But this printer wants to know, like, how do I get started?
Yeah, so that's a great question. So thanks for the question to the audience. The white paper factory from Pitney Bowes can be entered in multiple different ways. So we give an example in our presentations. For example, B-Source in Switzerland, they began the participation in the white paper factory by focusing on solutions in mail finishing. They migrated from a hundreds of different pre-printed envelopes through the use of our printing technology and our Print Plus messaging. They're employing White Paper Factory just-in-time print-on-demand technology through entering in the mail finishing area. In the case of Inceptor, they approached a comprehensive white paper factory by attacking pre-printed forms and materials both at the print and mail finishing space. There are any number of ways that we can help customers journey into the white paper factory. What's common is their desire for efficiency, effectiveness, and relevance, and their interest in reducing manufacturing costs. So there are multiple ways to get there. The fun part is working with clients across the globe to figure out the right recipe for their success.
All right, this question is for both of you, but maybe, Kevin, you might want to take a first stab at it. When investing in new technology, what's more important, flexibility or speed?
What's more important, flexibility or speed? It seems like one of those false choices in life. If I think about what's required to outperform in a competitive marketplace, to relegate to either flexibility or speed, our view at Pitney Bowes, it's the wrong choice to have to make a compromise in either. So our view says do not choose flexibility or speed. Insist on a solution that consider both. Don't consider speed versus quality. Insist on a solution that delivers on both. Our observation, end users are too sophisticated, they're smart, they're demanding, they're not accepting those compromises, nor should our print service providers that we work with consider them as an either-or choice. Insist on a solution that blends both. So, Matt, what do you think about that question?
Yeah, I think it's more of a question that probably people spend more time on 5 years ago, and certainly before that. I think we've seen leaps and bounds from a technology perspective, especially high-speed color inkjet quality, as one example. So I think that's a fair response.
Okay, Matt, you talked about inkjet technology, and I think we all could agree that many consider that really a disruptive technology in our industry. This person wanted to know what percentage of print service providers have moved to inkjet platforms. Was that in your earlier presentation?
I think what's missing is a percentage. So, I don't know that I have a percentage to give you today, but frankly, somebody else in the industry trends might. If I think from a, I think it depends on the market. So graphic arts versus transactional. I would say that the larger transactional print shops, I would say I shouldn't say mature technology, but it's almost status quo. If you're a large transactional printer, you need to be able to check that box. And I think a lot of the printers that have not yet invested are planning to do so soon. From a graphic arts perspective, it's a huge opportunity to differentiate, frankly, because there aren't a lot of high speed inkjet implementations in the graphic arts place. But I would say that as we're seeing more cut sheet inkjet coming into market, that might create new opportunities as well.
Right. Either of you have some perspective on, you know, what advantages it provides for a printer to be an early adopter when it comes to production inkjet? Either of you guys
stab
at that one?
So I'd just quickly say, Kevin, that if I think in the graphic arts perspective, from a graphic arts perspective, it just gives you a huge competitive advantage because you're an early adopter to a technology that's already established, just doesn't have widespread adoption in your market. So it's going to create a lot of competitive opportunity and give you a leg up, so it's not strictly a discussion about price, even though, frankly, you might be able to get the cost down lower as a result of making that investment.
Kevin, any quick comment on that? Or
Yeah, we've watched as ourselves an early adopter of our solution with Inkjet, and a solution provided to clients who require that. We're watching the transactional space that there was a point in time, you know, 5 years ago, 4 years ago, where people were sitting on the sidelines and saying, you know, is this real? Fast forward to today, the rate of adoption for print service providers in this space, it's kind of what Matt had said earlier. Those who wish to survive have to jump in. That's a question, is it scalable? And with innovations and announcements now through Drupal, I suspect that we'll see even further acceleration into Inkjet. But the major banks, the major insurance companies, the major regulatory-driven telco, and print service providers who support those same industries, they have concluded that Inkjet is where it's at now. In fact, many of those same clients are second, third, fourth generation Inkjet users. So I would propose, depending on vertical market, consider how you will implement as opposed to will you implement this type of solution.
Okay. Well, unfortunately, it looks like we are just about out of time. I'm sorry we couldn't get to everybody's questions. But my thanks to Matt and Kevin. On behalf of Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics and Pitney Bowes, I want to thank everybody for attending today's webinar. Be sure to check out our webinar page to get information on all our archived and our upcoming webinars. If you would just take a minute to fill out the brief feedback survey that will appear on your screen next, we would be most grateful. Your feedback will influence the webinars we bring to you in the future. I hope to see you all at the next Printing Impressions and Implant Graphics webinar. Have a good day and thank you.